The Third Eye by Tuesday Lobsang Rampa, read to you by Blue Friend. Chapter 18, Tibet Farewell. A few days later, as my guide and I were sitting beside the River of Happiness, a man came galloping by. Idly, he gazed in our direction and recognized the Lama Mingyar Dondup. Instantly, the dust at the horse's feet was a swirl with the violence of his stopping. "I have a message from the Inmost One for the Lama Lobsang Rampa." From his pouch, he pulled the long, familiar packet wrapped in the silk scarf of greeting. He handed it to me with a triple prostration and backed away, mounted his horse, and galloped off. Now I was much more assured. The events below the Potala had given me self-confidence. I opened the packet and read the message before passing it to my guide and friend, the Lama Mingyar Dondup. "I have to go to the Inmost One at the Jewel Park in the morning. You have to go as well." "One does not normally guess at the precious protector's remarks, Lobsang, but I feel that you will shortly be leaving for China, and I, well, as I told you, I shall soon be returning to the heavenly fields. Let us make the most of this day and of the scant time remaining. In the morning, I trod the familiar path to the Jewel Park, down the hill, across the road, and into the main gates. The Lama Mingyar Dondup walked with me. In both our minds was the thought that this was perhaps the last time we would make this journey together. Perhaps it was reflected, too, strongly in my face, for when I saw the Dalai Lama alone, he said, "The time of parting, of taking fresh paths, is always hard and fraught with misery. Here in this pavilion I sat in meditation for hours, wondering if I would do right to stay or leave when our country was invaded. Either would cause pain to some. Your path is straight ahead, Lobsang, and it is not an easy path for anyone. Family, friends, country, all must be left behind. The path ahead contains, as you have been told, hardship, torture, misunderstanding, disbelief, all that is unpleasant. The ways of the foreigners are strange and not to be accounted for. As I told you once before, they believe only that which they can do, only that which can be tested in their rooms of science. Yet the greatest science of all, the science of the Overself, they leave untouched. That is your path, the path you chose before you came to this life. I have arranged for you to leave for China at the end of 5 days."
5 days? 5 days! I've expected 5 weeks.
As my guide and I climbed up to our mountain home, no word was exchanged between us until we were again within the walls of the temple. "You will have to see your parents," Lobsang. "I will send a messenger."
"Parents?" The Lama Mingyar Dondup had been more than a father and mother to me. And soon he would be leaving this life before I returned to Tibet in a few short years. All I would see of him then would be his gold-covered figure in the Hall of Incarnations, like an old discarded robe for which the wearer had no further use.
5 days! Busy days!
From the Potala Museum, a new suit of Western clothes was brought for me to try on. Not that I was going to wear one in China. My lama robes would be more suitable there, but so that the others could see how I looked. Oh, that suit! Tight tubes of cloth that gripped my legs, so tight that I was afraid to bend. Now I knew why the Westerners could not sit in the lotus attitude. Their clothes were too tight. Certainly I thought I was ruined for life by these tight tubes. They put a white shroud on me, and around my neck they tied a thick ribbon and pulled it tight, as if they were going to strangle me. Over that they fitted a short piece of cloth with patches and holes behind it, in which they said the Westerners kept things, instead of in a robe as we did. But the worst was yet to come. They put thick and heavy gloves on my feet and pulled them tight with black strings with metal ends. The beggars who went on hands and knees around the Lingkor Road sometimes used gloves similar to these on their hands, but they were wise enough to use good Tibetan felt boots on their feet. I felt that I would be crippled, and so would not be able to go to China. A black inverted bowl with an edge around it was put on my head, and I was told that I was dressed as a Western gentleman of leisure. It seemed to me that they would have to have leisure, as surely they could not be expected to do any work dressed up like this. On the third day, I went again to my former home, alone, on foot, as when I first set out. But this time, as a lama, and as an abbot. Father and mother were at home to meet me. This time, I was an honored guest. In the evening of that day, I again went to Father's study and signed my name and rank in the family book. Then I set off again on foot for the lamasery, which had been my home for so long. The remaining 2 days soon passed. On the evening of the last day, I again saw the Dalai Lama and made my farewells and received his blessing. My heart was heavy as I took leave of him. The next time I would see him, as we both knew, would be when he was dead. In the morning, at first light, we set out, slowly and reluctantly. Once more I was homeless, going to strange places, and having to learn all over again. As we reached the high mountain pass, we turned to take a last long look at the holy city of Lhasa. From the top of the Potala, a solitary kite was flying. End of the third eye.